Welcome to the online ministry of Pacific Beach United Methodist Church, located in beautiful San Diego, California. Pacific Beach UMC is a member of the Reconciling Ministries Network and welcomes persons of all ages and backgrounds for worship, study, and service opportunities. More information can be found on our website at pbumc.org. May you be enriched in the hearing of these words, and may you receive and enjoy God's blessing.
Started out talking about gratitude through the lens of Dinah Butler Bass's book on gratitude. And as we've sort of progressed through this time, we've been focusing a little bit on the idea of centering around a table. And I think I've shared with you before, one of the camp is so important to me. One of the singular moments that I find so important when youth gather together around camp is, you know, people show up on that first day and you know, sometimes there's their friends that they see from afar, but it seems like youth continue to sort of stay in their regular and familiar groups from their churches who they rode up the mountain with, and the first time that begins to break down and they begin to commune with others is around a table at a meal. It's such an important time, and I would suggest it's an intimate time. And so we've been exploring the idea of gratitude through this lens of a table. And I want you to keep that lens in mind as we hear from our scriptures today. We've got two scriptures. They're a bit on the long side, but I think it's worth it. They should also be familiar scriptures. The first out of Exodus is when the Israelites are in the wilderness and they begin to complain because they're hungry. And the second text is a familiar text, I think, out of the Gospel of John. Again, where people are hungry. So I invite you to hear these verses through this lens of the table.
Exodus 16, 2 through 15. The whole Israelite community complained against Moses and Aaron in the desert. The Israelites said to them, "Oh, how we wish that the Lord had just put us to death while we were still in the land of Egypt. There we would sit by the pots, cooking meat, and eat our fill of bread. Instead, you've brought us out into this desert to starve this whole assembly to death." Then the Lord said to Moses, "I'm going to make bread rain down from the skies for you. The people will go out each day and gather just enough for that day. In this way, I will test them to see whether or not they follow my instruction. On the sixth day, when you measure out what they have collected, it will be twice as much that they collected the other days." So Moses and Aaron said to all the Israelites, "This evening you will know that the Lord, who has brought you out of the land of Egypt, and in the morning you will see the Lord's glorious presence, because your complaints against the Lord have been heard. Who are we? Why blame us?" Moses continued, "The Lord will give you meat to eat in the evening and your fill of bread in the morning, because the Lord heard your complaints you made against him. Who are we? Your complaints aren't against us, but against the Lord." Then Moses said to Aaron, "Say to the whole Israelite community, 'Come near to the Lord, because we have heard your complaints.'" As Aaron spoke to the whole Israelite community, they turned and looked toward the desert. And just then, the glorious presence of the Lord appeared in a cloud. The Lord spoke to Moses, "I have heard the complaints of the Israelites. Tell them, 'At twilight you will eat meat, and in the morning you will have your fill of bread. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God.' In the evening, a flock of quail flew down and covered the camp. And in the morning, there was a layer of dew all around the camp. When the layer of dew lifted, there was in the desert surface thin flakes, as thin as frost on the ground. When the Israelites saw it, they said to each other, 'What is this? We don't know what this was, but it was.' Moses said to them, 'This is the bread that the Lord has given you to eat.'" And in Luke 6, 1 through 15, One Sabbath, Jesus was going to the wheat fields. His disciples were picking heads of wheat, rubbing them in their hands and eating them. Some Pharisees said, "Why are you breaking the Sabbath law?" Jesus replied, "Haven't you read that David and his companions did when they were hungry? He broke the law by going to God's house and eating the bread of the presence, which only the priests can eat. He also gave them some bread to his companions. Then he said to them, 'The human one is the Lord of the Sabbath.' Another Sabbath, Jesus entered the synagogue to teach. A man was there whose right hand was withered. The legal experts and the Pharisees were watching him closely to see if he would heal him on the Sabbath. They were looking for a reason to bring charges against him. Jesus knew their thoughts, so he said to the man with the withered hand, 'Get up and stand in front of everyone.' He got up and stood there. Jesus said to the legal experts and Pharisees, 'Here's a question for you. Is it legal on the Sabbath to do good or to do evil? To share life or destroy it?' Looking around at all of them, he said to the man, 'Stretch out your hand.' So he did, and his hand was made healthy. They were furious and began talking with each other about what to do with Jesus. During that time, Jesus went up to the mountain to pray, and he prayed to God all night long. At daybreak, he called together his disciples. He chose 12 of them, whom he called apostles: Simon, who he named Peter, his brother Andrew, James, John, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon, who was called the Zealot."
There is an author of the book of Psalms. It's not David, because not all the Psalms are written by David. But this is someone whose name I'll mispronounce, but I would say it Asap or Asap, who in partnership with another author wrote several Psalms, particularly Psalm 78. And one of the things that it says, one of the things that Psalm 78 does is it retells the story that we heard from Exodus. And it goes in this way. They tested God in their hearts. Excuse me. They tested God in their hearts. They demanded food for their stomachs. They spoke against God. Can God set a dinner table in the wilderness? They were hungry. And they asked, can God set a table in the wilderness? As we've been exploring this idea of gratitude around the lens of the table, part of what we proclaimed last week is, listen, if our faith tells us that our job is to shrink the table, to limit the table, to tell people they're not welcome at the table, then perhaps we're not paying attention. Because the God of the Hebrews, the God who sent God's Son incarnate into the world, seems to consistently say that the table must be for everyone. This is not a world of scarcity, it's a world of abundance. And friends, we understand right now the fear of scarcity. It's psychological. When we go to the grocery store and we see the empty shelves, or to Costco, I promise it's just a tickle. When we see those empty shelves, don't we think to ourselves, I needed some of that too, even if we didn't show up with that on our list? Imagine for a moment, I'm going to get my beverage to manage that tickle. Imagine for a moment, put yourselves in the place of the Israelites who are wandering in the desert and what their experience has been. Their experience has been one of slavery, but not just slavery for having to work without pay, for being completely controlled in their lives, being told whether or not they can eat, likely being told when they're even allowed to have children, being told when to work and when you can finally have a moment to rest. Do you imagine that the Israelites in this time of slavery have every part of their lives controlled? this may be a real scarcity far beyond what we imagine these days. Every part of the Hebrew lives is controlled by the Pharaoh. And Daniel Butler Bass reminds us that this perhaps isn't unlike the reality in first century Jerusalem, where the people are under an occupying power, taxed heavily, being told when they can travel one place to another, being told when you can have a worship service or whether or not you can have a worship service or whether or not the temple is going to be open or whether or not you can celebrate a Passover meal or another important meal or celebration in your tradition. And God to the Israelites says, you don't have to fear about not having enough. And God's presence in the personhood of Christ says, we no longer have to worry about these top-down structures because we are all one. We are all on the same level. The first shall be last, and the last shall be first, and the first shall be last, and the last shall be first, and the first shall be last, and the last shall be first. When the Israelites were able to escape from the desert, and God provided food and meat and water out of a stone that was never ending, God was reminding them that there is always enough. Now, did the Israelites buy into it? No. But God even helped them to learn to do things in a new way. The manna that showed up on the ground, do you remember what the instructions were? We just read them. The instructions were, collect what you need for the day. You don't have to collect anymore. Just collect what you need for the day. At the end of the week, there will be enough for you to collect for 2 days. That's all you're going to need because God will continue to provide. And what happened to those? It was in another part of the scripture. What happened to those who collected, who sort of hoarded and took extra? What happened? It rotted. All they had to collect was what they needed for the day. And it's my sense that in that process, they were taught about God's abundance. Now, after this lesson, of course, the world got in the way. And Rome took over Jerusalem. And people learned once again about that definition of scarcity. I didn't expect to hear the scripture from Luke that that Tim read. I expected something from John that was about the feeding of the 4,000. But the scripture from Luke informs us as well. And, pardon me, it was unexpected. Pardon me as I sort of wing it here for a second. But in a scripture about healing, particularly on the Sabbath, perhaps we are reminded about the importance of relationship even in a time that we're told to keep distance. You know, in a time that we're told to keep distance, it's easy to buy into an idea that relationships are scarce, that connections are scarce. And perhaps even in a time when we're told that relationships and connections must be scarce, perhaps we can find ways, either using digital means or just the plain old telephone, can figure out ways to connect with one another because our connections and our relationships must not be scarce. Because as we connect with one another and as we connect with God, we find that God's love is abundant. God's grace is present. God's truth is everlasting. God's Spirit is with us. It seems as though a connecting message between our Hebrew Bible and our New Testament, particularly from Jesus, is that there is more than enough. There is abundance. In the story from the Gospel of John, when there is a feeding of thousands of people, there is the sense that, well, we only have a little bit of bread and a little bit of fish, and Jesus says, there is abundance. We might think about that story as a miraculousness of multiplying food, or we might think about it as a reminder of God's abundance. Here's the other thing that Bass highlights for us. It's illustrated for me in a conversation that I used to have every single Sunday with several members of the church that I served back in Nebraska. And some of you, I've told this story one-on-one. There were several old men who always got to the church hours early before worship. And they'd always have this, they always have their coffee, and they'd always be laughing and telling whatever joke they were telling that week. And I always go up to them, and I always say, hello, how are you doing today? And they'd always say something that I found hilarious. Well, I woke up on the right side of the grass this morning. Oh, good. My favorite one was, I woke up today and something hurt, so I knew I was still alive. What a beautiful expression of gratitude. The reality is, as human beings, the first, at least 10 years of our lives, we are fully dependent on someone else for everything. Especially the first couple of years, for eating, for cleaning us up. And I would suggest that for some of us, at the end of our lives, we become fully dependent on others to sustain us. And one of the things that reminds me of is that so much of what we think is us achieving or pulling ourselves up by our bootstraps is given to us. Because every time there is a gift, there is a giver. Every time there is a gift, there is a giver. In all of God's abundance, we can see it as a gift. And when there is a gift, there is a giver. It is good and it is right. And I submit it is world-changing to acknowledge the gift, to acknowledge the giver, and to give thanks. This is our table ethic. Amen. Let's enter into a time of prayer. Holy and gracious God, in a time of social distancing, remind us that you are in the in-between places, connecting with us, connecting us to one another, reminding us that we are not alone. That isolating ourselves when it comes to health does not mean that we are isolated from you and from our community of faith. Help us, O God. Help us in this time to choose in the midst of fear to connect with one another in safe ways, in appropriate ways, in healthy ways, and yet in life-giving ways. God, we lift up those who are immunosuppressed or immunovulnerable in this time, that they might be safe. God bless those who are ill, whether persons are ill with the COVID-19 virus or some other illness, that your comfort and your healing and your peace might be present. God, we lift up one who is battling a cancer diagnosis, that healing might be known, that anxieties might be addressed and reduced. God, we lift up those who suddenly find themselves out of work. Sustain them. We lift up those parents who find themselves wondering what to do with their children who are suddenly at home. Give them guidance and strength. We lift up these prayers and any that are left unsaid as we join together in the prayer taught to us by your Son, our Christ, as we say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.